We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ryan Russillo. Ryan, how you doing? Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. What's up?
You got it. So, obviously, everybody's looking for somebody to blame for what happened with Kevin Durant. What's your take on this? Do you want to blame somebody like everybody else, or are you not interested in that?
I'm not really that interested in it. I think in this movement of player empowerment, it's been really cool because players used to get beat up on all the time. People were really selfish about it. The media was very anti-player growing up, and now it's shifted so far the other way that we want to act like these guys are exploited at every single turn. Durant, if he wanted to come back and play, the dude's a 30-year-old guy, and he can come back and play. The idea that the Golden State lied to him about his Achilles injury for their own benefit, you don't know the Warriors if that's what you're saying. If you watch Bob Myers and you think that was some contrived fake tear thing, then you don't know Bob Myers. I know Bob Myers, and this dude's a real dude. He's not a phony. So the whole thing sucks. It's incredibly unfortunate. You don't even have to be – you could hate the Warriors. You could dislike Durant for his decision 3 years ago. But there has to be some level of sympathy that you feel for this guy and almost, I would say, admiration for a dude that was like, you know what, we're down 3-1. I want to go out there and try to win this thing for this team and my teammates, despite all the nonsense, you know, that's gone on, some of it real, some of it not real over the last year or so with all the drama. So, you know, I don't know if it's a trainer. I think that's Bob Myers going, you know, we told this guy he was good. We felt good about it. We were all collectively on the same page. And then the worst case scenario thing happens. And I thought that was real emotion last night.
Ryan, I agree with you. I think you were spot on with your comments. I agree with everything you just said there. I'm annoyed that everybody wants to pile on. I'm generally a player, pro player, anti-owner guy. But like this idea that the Warriors are to blame because Durant got hurt is ridiculous. I don't know. Nobody needs to be the bad guy in this situation. It's just unfortunate. As you say, I think it's perfect. No bad guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Durant, like some of the stuff that I see and – I think like sometimes football players don't have as much power, you know, especially if you're a non-quarterback. And yeah, when it's a team doctor, I can understand their motivation here. But, you know, this guy's staring at a huge free agency paycheck. Golden State wants to keep him. They've been told all year they're probably not going to be able to keep him. I think they were kind of resigned to the fact of losing him. I don't know how much this changes it. It could, but I just, you know, never, the world is not as evil as people try to make it out to be. People wake up every day trying to find out how everyone's keeping them down. And it's like, look, some stuff's really screwed up. But it's not this, like, to find ways to feel like someone is wrong must be exhausting. And that's what I feel like happens in moments like these.
Right. What do you think ultimately happens here? Does this injury make it more likely for him to return to Golden State and them offer him a max deal? Does he opt in to his option, or does he leave?
It was a slim chance he was coming back, based on everything that I had heard. And, you know, we know that this thing can be weird and things can change. And the way you feel on, you know, in February can be different in July. I mean, look at Kyrie's a perfect example of that. So, you know, when I think about the decision ahead of him here, I still think other teams would 4-year max him. I really do. It's that hard to get free agents. I mean, think about the Knicks, who a few weeks ago were thinking we're going to get Zion, Kyrie, and Durant. And it's now RJ Barrett. Kyrie's going to go across the street. And now Durant blew out his Achilles. So yeah. I really think that it changes things as far as Golden State being able to pitch it a different way, saying we will take care of you. Would they give him the fifth year? Would they do any of those things? I think Golden State's pitch was going to be more about going, hey, why don't we see what the landscape is here before you already pack up and go out the door, because you might end up going to New York by yourself if all these other dominoes fall in different places.
We're talking with Ryan Russillo from the Russillo Show. Ryan, when you look at the series itself now, 3-2, obviously the Warriors pull it out last night. They go home for game 6 on Thursday. What kind of chance do you give them of winning 6 and 7 without Durant pulling it out?
I never doubt this team. I really don't. I mean, I've been accused of being a Warriors fan here now for a long time, but part of it is just that I like the front office. I love the way they play the game. I love the underdog stories of Steph and Clay coming into the league. But, you know, the weird thing about this series as it's played out is that – you know, Golden State's always been this offensive thing that you're so afraid of. They actually have terrible spacing. They don't you know, it's one thing when those three guys are out there and they're just good enough to do whatever they want. But Toronto, no matter what lineup they use, they've always had, I would say, the top seven guys they use in the rotation. All of those guys can find a way to get a bucket on their own. I mean, Bach has been terrific in this series coming off the bench. Norman Powell is somebody who actually can drive and still hit a shot. Van Vliet's been incredible. They have, at all times, five guys that you have to guard that all can get different kinds of shots. So I just don't know how, with Durant out again, you know, Clay still having some lingering things going on. Looney now done for the season, who's been their best center. You never know what Cousins you're going to get, because most of it's, I don't say most of it, but there's been more bad than good, which is totally understandable. That's not even a knock on his game. It's just the injury thing. Like, they're out of bodies. They're out of scores. And as great as that backcourt is, when you can guard two/three guys, sometimes a five, it makes it a lot harder. And I thought Toronto was the best team in the East. If they hadn't shut their guys down like they did, they would have been the number one seed. And I'm incredibly impressed with them, despite what happened last night. But I think that has more to do with this Golden State team that's incredibly mentally tough. But I don't know if they can match that and do it for another two games.
Ryan, I saw on your Twitter last night you had a problem with Nick Nurse calling that timeout with 3 minutes to go. I didn't. I thought Kawhi looked gassed at the time, but you think it killed the momentum, right?
Oh, I thought it was terrible. And I'm not a, hey, this guy get out coached. I hate Sunday, Monday into NFL stuff where anybody who's lost get out coached. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not. I watch as much basketball, I think, as anybody, and I'm still never really comfortable saying, oh, that guy can't figure out the other coach. I think we say it way too much. However, this was brutal. I don't, like, in the moment, I'm going, what are you doing? The roof is about to come off of this place. Yeah. Emotionally, you've captured this. Kawhi's on a run. I don't care if Kawhi's tired or not. We just talked about the fact they have other guys that they can get buckets with. Yeah. And to use the timeout and then to justify it after the fact by saying, well, we didn't want to not use them. You don't, like, if you're left with two, you don't lose the game. Like,
right.
It was like, come up with a lie.
That is a weird comment to make. Maybe what he meant was that if he didn't use them, guys would be more tired down the stretch. But so would the Warriors.
I'm trying to figure out why he would say that.
But it was odd. Ryan Russillo is with us. Ryan, what was your take on the reaction of the crowd? A lot of people are killing the crowd. To me, like, I don't know that I would do it personally, be cheering for a guy, but in the emotion of the moment, I think a lot of fans are like, yeah, I'm glad he's injured.
And then they realize, they feel like they won a championship, and then all of a sudden they realize, wait a second, this guy's a human being.
What's your thoughts on the fans? Should we be killing Raptors fans today?
And there's a couple other things here at play. Like, I watched it again last night, and I watched it again this morning. There's two separate occasions they cheer the injury. They cheer it when he goes down, when everybody knows what's going on with the storyline. And then if he gets up and he can't walk, there's another cheer. And then there was a third cheer where it was like, oh, man, let's do the thing where we cheer the guy walking off. The first two were celebratory because he was hurt. Yeah. It was a terrible look. And when Canadians tell you, you know, how, look, we all know, like, Canadians actually are generally nicer than us. I don't think that's some stereotype.
Yeah.
But when it plays out where we're the boorish Americans, and then I think it was kind of like a new money thing. Where you're not used to it, you're on the cusp of doing this thing, and now it's going to be that much harder. So I remember being a late teens, early 20s jerk every time I saw a Yankees hat, absolutely seething, blood boiling, you know, frustration and hatred and just irrational emotional reaction to the whole thing. So I'm not saying it's specific only to Toronto, but here's the problem. You were on, you know, the prime stage last night. You did it. Your fans get up and cheered. I've never seen players turn to the crowd on both teams and say, what are you guys doing? Stop cheering like this. So that, to me, confirms that it was unique. I'm not saying they're the only city that would do it, but, like, this is just how it works. You're going to get crushed when you do something like that.
Yeah, I think it would happen in a lot of places in the same situation. But
I was in a bar last night in Cleveland, and people were cheering, Ryan.
Yeah.
With no vested interest, just because you hate the Warriors. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
You guys are going to win the Super Bowl, though, so everything will be fine.
Do you believe that, or are you just being a wise guy?
Yeah, just totally.
All right, Ryan, let's talk draft for a second here with the Cavs, because obviously they have the fifth pick, and, you know, I don't know where you think the line of demarcation is. Some people think three, some people think five. What is, like, should they be trying to trade up to three? There's been rumors maybe they trade down to get picks 8 and 10 from the Hawks. What makes sense to you for the Cavs?
I think it's four guys. Then teams have told me I'm nuts. Most people think it's three. You know, it's the same three guys, Zion, Ja and Barrett, and I just think that Darius Garland kid out of Vanderbilt's really special athletically in his shot-making ability, but he played four sort of five games, and it was the beginning of the year, and then he was hurt, and he was done. But it was an MCL, so I don't think anybody's really worried about that. Some people agree with me on the Darius Garland thing, other people don't. So people get paid a lot more than me to make these decisions. As far as it being five, I haven't heard anyone say it's five.
Okay.
So, you know, this sounds like it's bad news for Cleveland fans. I don't know who the fifth guy, like, because to me now it becomes a rotation of just taste with guys with kind of low floors. It scares me a little bit. Like, Hunter at times looks great. If you want to look at the UVA title game, he was incredible, his length and all these things. But is he really a guy that's going to, you know, when you're picking that high, you kind of want a guy to be able to get your buckets. And I don't know if Culver or Hunter will consistently do that. Kobe White's probably out of the picture for Cleveland, even though I think bad teams should just take who they like and figure it out later. But with Sexton there, Kobe seems a little redundant. So moving around and all this stuff, I mean, unless they, you know, if the Cavs front office evaluates this as like an 11-person draft or something like that, or two tiers where it's 1 through 4 and then 5 through 12, then go ahead and move back. You take the center from Texas. You could take another wing that's going to fall there and feel like you're rounding this out. It's just, I'm sorry, I don't think it's like, a lot of these guys scare me. In that second tier, a lot of these guys scare me, because you'll watch a Culver and say, man, he looks like the guy that's an NBA player out there in comparison to everybody else. And then other times you're like, bad shots, not 100% like the most athletic guy, has to have the ball all the time. And I don't know. I don't know how many people agree or not, but when you watch a lot of the second tier prospects, you can kind of talk yourself in and out of a lot of them.
Raptors in six or seven?
Let's say seven. I hate doubting this Golden State team. I hate it because they've shown so many times how tough they are. But I just don't know how they're going to match the scoring of what Toronto's been able to do. And they can't – actually, Golden State's defense for most of the series has been really tough to watch because Toronto's just worked them. That game four was just impressive as hell, especially knowing that this is a new Toronto team that's in Oracle. Place is going nuts. Golden State's up to double digits in the first quarter, and Toronto isn't even fazed by it. So usually newer teams are supposed to be more like emotionally fragile, and this, the Toronto Raptors are not that in this first version of this team, and it's really impressive.
Ryan, last question. If Toronto wins the series and wins the championship, does Kawhi Leonard have to go back to Toronto or no?
I don't think losing or winning has anything to do with him staying or not. I know that we do a lot of that, like, oh, if he wins, that means he can leave. I don't think he cares. You know, like, I think, right, a lot of the Durant stuff, when it was OKC, it got played out like, oh, well, once they blew the 3-1 lead to Cleveland, that meant he could go there. I mean, they won 73 games and were a bounce or two away from winning that one, too. And from what I had heard, going back to like January, February, he'd already packed his bag. So it may not be 100% decided, but there's always, I'm convinced, a really heavy lean one way or the other. So I actually don't think this is a result-based decision for Kawhi. It's just a matter of, does he feel comfortable? Does he think he can keep running through the East, or does the guy just want to get back to the West Coast? And
right,
I don't know, because yeah, none of us know this guy.
Yeah, it's true. And we have no idea what these guys are going to do ultimately. Yeah. Ryan, thanks,
awesome,
man. We appreciate
stuff,
it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, you appreciate got it. Ryan Russillo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.